The book of James, chapter 1. I'm going to talk, go through this first chapter here. And this is about trials and temptations, and it was kind of what the manifestations were a little bit about, not falling into the adversary's trap. And I don't think people are very diligent, to tell you the truth. I think they get into their rut of whatever Christianity. They don't, people don't read their Bible like they should. They don't put the word on and really fight for that spiritual mind and keeping that first. And therefore, they fall into all kinds of stuff that comes up, because you just don't have the strength. It says that, desire the sincere milk of the word. We as newborn babes to desire the sincere milk of the word. Whatever you feed yourself on is what you got in your life. I mean, if you feed yourself on the world, you got the world. And that's what you primarily think about. You feed yourself on, pick a subject. Doctors, physical therapists, that's what I'm doing right now. I'm going to a physical therapist. I can think about this all day long. I don't want to. You just want to do what you got to do and move on to the great things of the Lord. You could think about all day, consume yourself with the bills you got to pay. Or you can think about the one who's going to deliver you. It's all up to you. It says here, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes, the people of Israel, which are scattered abroad, greetings, the ones that are all over the place. James had the church in Jerusalem, but there were other cities, other places where the Jews lived, and he wanted to send this letter out to all of them. It says, my brethren, count it all joy when thou fall into various temptations or trials. Now that is, you want to talk about a statement that would get your attention? That's one. But you better believe that this is exactly the truth. You're going to learn in a very short period of time and only a few scriptures how this is absolutely possible and absolutely necessary. Because if you don't, if you're already defeated, as soon as something comes up in your life, oh my God, the world's coming to an end. You're finished. You're finished. Right there. Finished. Just lay down and die. You and God make a majority in every situation. You may not see the light at the end of the tunnel yet, but it'll be there. You follow me? If your thing is panic, training yourself to do anything is important, right? When you learn to drive a car, I took my kids out, and I took them to a big parking lot, and we started with the real basics, right? Okay, step on the gas, get used to the pedals, this is the brake, step on the brake. You go through all of this on a dry run before car even moves, right? You're telling them, this is what this does, this is what that does, and then you do it, and you do it slow and steady and sure. Not a whole lot of distractions one way or the other. Nobody around really except a couple of light poles that you could run into. Or you could run into the Atlantic Ocean. I took them down to Jones Beach. Someplace you're going to stop, either the bay or the beach. Not likely you're going to get over the bridge. You want some water? Go get it. But, the point is, it's steady learning, consistent, and it builds. But if you take that same person and you put them out in the middle of the highway, you know, at a very young part of their driving, and somebody comes by at 90 miles an hour and cuts them off to the left or to the right, all right, they panic. What do? They, oh, my God, they let go of the steering wheel, close their eyes. I can't watch. I mean, this is going to help. You're done. It's a miracle that you didn't wreck because of panic. And this is what a lot of times what happens, and it's a long, little long story, but this is what happens when stuff comes up with believers, and all of a sudden they are tempted. It's come their way. And instead of having that word in their life and the relationship with God, and no matter what happens here, he's with me, he'll never leave me, he'll never forsake me, I don't know what's going to happen, but I know it will be well. They freak, and it's over. And that's pretty much what it's going to tell you here in a minute, okay? You got to train yourself, and you got to do this the way it says it. Otherwise, you're going to be in a great deal of trouble. It says, "So, brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various temptations, trials, knowing this, that the trying of your faith, when it's tried, it works patience or endurance." This is what it does. It works patience. It works endurance in your life. You're building on something. Every time something comes up and you have to exercise your faith, it's building more endurance and more patience and more strength. There's nothing greater than when you pray a prayer. There's nothing that'll get you so excited and so filled with excitement for God and strength in your life spiritually is when God answers a prayer. And you see him work. And then all of a sudden, it's like an explosion of strength in your own life. As long as you hold on to it. Some people get talked out of something before it even gets warm. You know, they go from hot to ice cold in 2 seconds. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith, it works endurance, patience. But let patience, or this endurance, have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, that you may be perfect and complete, wanting nothing. When you do this, you will absolutely want nothing. Everything that's necessary in your life, it'll happen. It'll come along. You know, God is not unable to deliver. If you hold on to it, if you endure. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that gives to all men liberally. He gives to every single person, everyone liberally. And he abrideth not. He doesn't condemn you. He doesn't yell at you. There's no disdain whatsoever, you know, towards you. There's no, oh, you're going to ask me for this again. It's none of that. He never does that. And it shall be given him. And it says, all men. You know, you can take a guy who doesn't believe in God, all right? Maybe somebody's really in deep stuff, right? Deep stuff, maybe drug, whatever the heck it is. And they know nothing about God. And you start talking to them. Just ask them, hey, you know what? If you ask God to help you, he'll help you. Well, I don't believe in God. Just ask him. He'll help you. And he says, well, I don't believe in God. Well, just ask him. Just say, God Almighty, help me, please. I need help. He says all men. How do you think you and I got here? Because we decided to become theologians. We decided to go to the library, pick out the Bible, and I got to get spiritual. Nah, none of that happened. You were down in the dumps. You were down at the bottom. And you said, Lord, help me. And he did. Some of you, that was a long time ago. But you should never forget it. God will answer every soul. It says that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will not be ashamed. So tell the unbelievers, hey, ask God. He'll give it to you. I mean, what do they got to lose? Because I believe it. He gives it liberally, liberally. He pours this stuff out. When you're, what is wisdom, by the way? How do I do this? How do I apply this knowledge? You read the scriptures. God, how do I do this? You tell me all the time, this is what your word says. This is what you want me to do. How do I do this? And he will instruct you as to how. He will work it in your heart. Please put your thing on mute, you guys that are online. So, but let him ask in faith. Now, here's the kicker, okay? God will give. You ask, he'll give. But what's required? Faith. This is the how it's received. But let him ask in faith, not wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. This is the absolute truth, okay? And it's been this way throughout the scriptures, right? No matter what record you've read from Genesis on, God requires faith. He requires you to know that he is God and that he is there. And that he will do what he says he will do. Now, he's super merciful. Like I said, to that sinner who doesn't know him at all, and they just acknowledge the fact, oh, there is a God. Maybe out there is one. You watch the miracles he'll do. He's done that all throughout the Gospels. Took very little for people to receive great, beautiful things. But those who are mature, like in Abraham and so forth, what is that test, that test of faith that caused him to grow so much? You know, because when you're tempted, when you're tested, all right, you are to build this endurance, and it builds this power of your life. When you're a teacher, the test is not for the teacher. I used to think when I went to school, the test was so that the teacher could torture the students. That was my, but here, whoa, I'm 66. I realize that the test was actually to help the students know where they were at. But it took me a lot of years to figure that out. Every time your faith is, you find out that you've grown. You find out that God, I'm more assured that God is with me, more assured that his promises are true. I am more strengthened and assured that he will never leave me or forsake me. You follow me? The test was for Abraham. I mean, Hey, give me your son. Sacrifice. This was not easy. Abraham didn't blink. He reckoned that God would have to raise him from the dead because he was the child of promise. That's what it says in Hebrews. But he didn't blink. And there's the difference between, this is the man who is the benchmark of what faith looks like. No doubt, God is God. He's the one that made the universe. He's the one that makes everything work. He's the one that allows you to suck air and breathe. When you come to that place, for me, I know he loves me more than I loved me. I know he loves my family more than I can love them. I know that he's willing and desires to provide for every single thing beyond anything that I can do. I know that he's given me everything that he's ever blessed me with. And through every challenge that we've ever been, he's been there. I keep him first and foremost in my head. You know? You got to do that. Because when the stuff hits the fan and somebody cuts you off, it's no time to throw your hands in the air, take your hands off the wheel, shut your eyes, and hope that it's all going to work out. No, you got to be ready for what's coming. You know that when you get in your car nowadays and you live in New York, all right, you know that some idiot out there is coming by one day. And you've seen him go by, and you've commented on him as he goes by, right? But you know it don't panic you. It's expected. I expect that the adversary will throw his hands up and will. I expect stuff that will happen. But it's okay. Lord will be there with every single thing. But a double-minded man, God can't do anything with that. Oh, well, maybe God will help me. Oh, yeah, God's going to help me. God, but maybe not. Yeah, oh, yeah, God's going to help me. Oh, but maybe not. You're not going to get a blessed thing from him. You're done. You don't know who you've got. You don't have enough strength to know that you're talking about the Father of heaven, earth, that it's a loving Father who takes care of his children. You don't know that enough. It's like a child that jumps in the pool. Catch me? Some kids jump in right away. Daddy and mommy will catch me. No doubt. Others? I ain't so sure about you. And they don't jump. And that's a double-minded. That's that double-minded thing. It's an illustration of it. I don't really know if I can try. I don't know if I can't try. Well, you don't got enough word in your head. So might as well forget about it. No miracle here. It's got to be a phenomenon. You get it. You know, when Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were taken captive, they were stripped from everything, everything in their life, their parents, their language, their nation, their country, everything. And you know what they thought about? They thought about, well, how are we going to serve God in captivity? That's what they were thinking about. And God elevated them, and God blessed them, and God made them in favor, put them in high favor with their captives. In fact, God elevated them to run the nation. They were still in captivity. They were running the show as slaves. And they died as slaves running the show. I think they watched God work. You know, I think that there was like an endurance and a continual excitement of joy. Let's see what God's going to do now. Counted all joy when stuff comes your way, because you're going to see the Almighty work. And then it says in these next few verses, don't worry, wherever you're at, whatever your status in life, doesn't make a difference. Okay? Let a brother of low degree rejoice that he is exalted. All right? But the rich that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with the burning heat that withereth the grass, and the flower thereof fadeth, faileth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is that man. See, it doesn't, if you're like, I guess myself, I was one of those guys, I was just hanging around, not going anywhere, didn't have any connections, didn't have nothing else, just on the streets of the city. And I watched God elevate not only my heart, but he also elevated my life. I got to do things and see things and participate in stuff that I never would have had the opportunity had I just stayed on the streets of Steinway, you know, where I grew up. You know, and yet I know that there are people who they're on top of the world, quote unquote, and they got wealth or whatever, and they just, hey, they go the other direction, but they're just as blessed because they come to know that there is a God and he is the one that's in control, and they can humble themselves before him and not rely upon their wealth or their riches or anything, which is always, throughout the Bible, is a huge temptation for people. Doesn't matter your status. Things, trials will come. You ask God, he will help. And just do it in faith. Don't be double-minded. Verse 12, blessed is the man that endures temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive that crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. This is the reward of doing it God's way. There's a reward in it for you if you choose to endure. Yeah, when the Lord comes back, you'll get the crown of life. He's made that promise. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. This section here is talking about the source of temptations. And this is really important. All right? Because so many people, so many Christians can't figure this out. Bad stuff happens, they blame God, right? Even many Christians believe, okay, the temptation, the evil temptation that comes my way that I got to ask God for help comes from God. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempt he any man. Excuse, with evil, you can supply for the full thought. God tested Abraham. It was a test. Teachers give math tests to their students. It's for the student's benefit. It was for Abraham's benefit to get to the next level of faith. No evil there. Strain, oh yeah, but no evil. It was for Abraham's benefit. It's the same thing here. God does not, cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempt he any man with evil. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. The temptations generally, the evil ones, come from the world in which we live in, and they come from with your own lusts. You know, when you were born, we call these babies innocent, but basically they're selfish, right? I mean, it's all about them. I got to eat. I got to clean me up. I got to eat. I got to sleep. You know, take care of me. Hold me. Don't mess with me. Hold me. Otherwise, I'll scream bloody murder. It's all about them. It will be all about them until you start to train them. I'm saying you got to share. You got to share with your classmate. You got to share with your brother, with your sister. No, you got to have manners. Say yes, ma'am, no. Say please, thank you. They learn, you know, not to be selfish. And they learn it by training. But most folks, it's all about what I'm into, what I'm feeling, what's in it for me. I mean, am I happy? Because it's all about me being happy. If that's true, nobody should have ever had kids. Because it's not. You know, when we had kids, all of a sudden, it wasn't about me and her anymore. It was about loving and giving and responsibility and providing. And no longer thinking about me. It was about them. It's huge, huge difference. So, God does not tempt anyone with evil. Evil is determined what Scripture says. God is always righteous. He will judge according to his word. And that judgment may not be pleasant to you. But when it comes to temptation, he doesn't give you or provide an evil temptation to trick you. He doesn't tempt either man. He can't be tempted, and he will not tempt any man with it. But it does come, verse 14, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. When lust hath conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, it brings forth death. Okay? I want to get stoned. Let's go to the bar. There's the temptation. Having a drink, there's no sin in that. But I want to get stoned. There you go. All right, I want to get lit up. I go to the bar, have 5, whatever, 10. I'm smashed. That's sin. The temptation is I want to go. Then when lust hath conceived, you've gone and partaken. Okay? That's when, you know, brings forth sin. Drunkenness is a sin. All right? And when sin, when it is finished, now you're an alcoholic, you've got a lifestyle of getting drunk all the time, it's called spiritual death. This is how it works. So most of it comes from us, our own lust, our own lack of self-control. The decision not to do the right thing. Can't blame nothing else, nobody else. Will God help? Almighty God, help me. Help me get out of this. Liberally. He will help. Just don't doubt that he will. He will. And you live and die on that. You follow me? You got to lock it in. Otherwise, you follow your own instincts, and eventually this thing consummates itself into a lifestyle of sin. You just pick out the sins that are in the Bible, whatever your lust is, and you will go. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and it comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. There's just no darkness. There's no doubt. There's nothing that God won't do. And it doesn't come in shadows. It's in the light of his own will begot he us. Of his own will, he chose us. He begat us. He was the one that made it available for us to have the Spirit. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creation. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Usually the other way around, right? They're quick to get angry. They always shoot their mouth off, and they never listen. For the wrath of man works not the righteousness of God. That is how to deal with the things that come at you. Where do they come from? Usually within our own lusts, fears, laziness. Yeah, that's a lust. Oh, I don't want to do that. I don't want to read. I don't want to pray. I don't want to. I don't want to. Just that little kid thing. You know what I mean? No, 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 no. I don't want to. Fine. You can stomp on the grocery floor. Remember you go to the supermarket and you watch these little brats in the aisle stomping and screaming, buy me the ice cream, buy me the ice cream. You want to shoot the mother or the kid. You just want to get rid of them. There are a lot of people who, I mean, this is lust. This is lust. Stomping on the floor. I'm gonna be outrageous until I get what I want. I'm going to be stubborn until I get what I want. My way. Well, it ain't your way. It's his way. But this is how it works. What's required is faith, an unshakable faith. Where this stuff comes from, the evil doesn't come from God. It comes primarily from the adversary, but basically it's already within you, in your lusts, in your own evil half. You know, the one you were born with. That's why you train yourself. You put on the word. You keep it in there so that it stays down and you can stay blessed. So that's what I wanted to share with you today. All right? So, oh, thank you. Thank you. And I love you guys a lot. So, Father, I thank you for your love. I thank you for helping us, my God. Not allowing us, my Lord, to be tricked by the world, but to trust you, to rely upon you, to continue to seek you for each and every moment of our life and faith, and to ask, to come to you in prayer, Father, and ask for deliverance and help. And I have no doubt, Father, that you will be there. And you will work it out in your own time, in your own way. It will be there. You'll never leave your people forsaken. So I love you, and I am just so grateful and thankful for all that you have done, for the deliverance that you've given, and for your blessings. Thank you for the freedoms that we have, my God. And I ask you, Father, that you would protect so that we can move your word, that you would take care of this nation, that you would take care of the people within it, and that, Lord, people would just come to know you, because there is no help anyplace else. And we just like to be able to lead them towards you, my Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.